This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
So with Stafford, he's only due $27 million in 2025, which is clearly, you know, below the line of what the top quarterbacks are making. And my understanding has been that the Rams have been in conversations with his agent, that they've also given his agent permission to talk to other clubs and just figure out, hey, if he became available, if there were a trade, what would the numbers be elsewhere here?
All right, Tom Pelissero talking about Matthew Stafford and his agent now having an opportunity to go around and gauge the market on his client. Well, the new information that came out yesterday following the Fan Morning Show is that Matthew Stafford wants $50 million a season. Big 50 burger this guy wants. And I think a reasonable argument can be made that he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL or right there on that line. And when Stafford's at the height of his powers, it's tough to say anybody's better. I mean, how many times did we talk about and reference that Bills game last year,
Darren? Yeah.
That's the best game I saw a quarterback play all year, no question about it. Ball on the money, giving his guys a chance to make plays. It was as accurate a performance as I've seen from a quarterback really in a long time. And the Bills are a better team than the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rams just, they work them. They put up a million points. When he's at his best, Matthew Stafford can carry a team. Matthew Stafford's Rams were, really, when you think about it, a play or two away from beating the eventual Super Bowl champions on the road in Philadelphia in the playoffs. A Matthew Stafford could transform the right franchise. Is it worth it, though? Can Matthew Stafford come in and transform you enough times in succession in the postseason to ultimately get you the Lombardi Trophy? If the answer is yes, that he can carry you to a championship, if you really think you're that close, then I do think you move heaven and earth to get him. I don't think they're close enough, Doran, where they can pay a guy $50 million bucks, even 40, when they've got $60 million in cap space, and that you can give up draft resources and then not be able to build around him. I don't think they're close enough to where Stafford can be that rising tide that lifts all ships. What do you think?
No, at all. Not at all. Like, I mean, he can't move. Like, he can move, obviously, but he can't move behind the offensive line that you're going to be putting in front of him, which is a young offensive line that really didn't grow at all this year and had some guys out and is going to be moving one guy from right tackle to left tackle possibly, and a guy that didn't even have any reps in the regular season that is basically going to be a rookie at right tackle, a second-year center, a second-year guard. You're going to put Matthew Stafford behind that line. Like, yeah, he can do well in behind sufficient offensive line and sit back there and pick people apart, but he's not going to have any time. And usually whenever you do have faults at your offensive line, you got to have somebody that can get out of that, a guy that can move, and he can't do that. But you also, like, this is a boom or bust. Like, if you pay Matthew Stafford $50 million and you don't win, you're screwing your future.
Yes.
Like, you're screwing your future. Like, you are setting you already set yourself back a lot in the last couple of years with the misdrafting of Kenny Pickett. Like, you've set yourself back already. You've got to rewind again. So now you're going to go all in to possibly rewind even further past Kenny Pickett to have to get to a point, you know, to scrape your way to get back to a point to be a competitive franchise. Like, he will set you back so far if he doesn't win. So what is your goal? Like, I mean, your goal obviously is to win a Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford could do that, like you said, Crowley, with the right franchise. But this franchise, they need way more than just a quarterback. They are more than a quarterback away at this point.
I didn't know where you came down on this, and I know you're a huge Matthew Stafford fan, and I would love nothing more than to turn this microphone on and be really excited about this possibility. Because I do think it's a legit possibility. The other teams that have poked around and talked to the agent about Stafford, they stink. We're talking about the Browns. We're talking about the Raiders. We're talking about, what, the Jets, the Giants, teams like that. Like, of those teams, I think the Steelers are the most desirable option. Now, I think of all the teams, the Rams remain the most desirable option. So I think it's a possibility, maybe even a decent possibility, that they are interested and would bring in Matthew Stafford. And I would love for nothing more than to talk into this microphone about, wow, this guy could come in and be the savior, and we're in this bleak, dark time in Pittsburgh sports, and it makes all the sense in the world. I just don't feel that way.
Mm-mm.
And the future thing that you just brought up might be reason A. If you bring in Matt Stafford, folks, that's your offseason. And a great quarterback can change a lot, and he is a great quarterback. But you got $60 million in cap space. Let's say it's for 40. Now you got 20. How much can you really build around this guy? And what are you giving up to get him? If it's a first-round pick and $40 million, come on. You've really hurt yourself.
Hurt.
If it's $40 million and a second-round pick, you've really hurt yourself. Because you can't go shopping in free agency, and you can't address a need in the draft. And why does that matter? Well, because next year might be the year to draft a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard Pony say, well, it's probably still a good idea to do that next year. Okay. But if you're paying Stafford 40-ish, whatever, this year, and there's going to be money you got to pay Stafford next year. And I'm not a capologist. I'm not going to pretend to be anywhere near as smart as Omar Khan. And he'd do his best with this. But if there's dead cap hit, if you had to cut him, or even if he plays next year and the rookie quarterback's the backup, when that rookie plays, the roster's not going to be good enough to develop that guy.
Right.
And so I think there's a couple of different ways to look at this. I don't trust the Steelers to develop a quarterback. So you either go out and you get a Stafford who's already developed, or you build up the foundation here. You make this roster so good that when a young, talented quarterback comes in here, he has no choice but to succeed. You go with the Philadelphia model. I don't think Jalen Hurts is the best quarterback in the league. He's better than I thought. He's good bordering on great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's great. If you want that in Pittsburgh, you got to build up.
Yeah.
And if you trade for Stafford, you can't build up.
Nope. Nope. I mean, they're not close at any other positions. Like, if they were, like, even I do kind of relate, you know, the Jets whenever they did go after Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that made a little bit of sense because even though the Jets never really been good, they still had young talent. Like, it didn't work out because he tore his Achilles, but I do believe if he had played that year, they probably would have been a lot better. Like, they probably would have made the playoffs.
They started really well that year.
They started really well. I mean, you know, that would make sense. Like, this roster, you don't know what you're doing with your number one wide receiver. Like, he's 50-50. You really don't know. Like, you're talking about, you know, maybe can he be the guy? You're talking about not paying him. So, like, you have a talent out there, but you still don't know. Like, let's be honest. You don't know with George. What's your running back situation like? Najee Harris is going away. I know that people don't, you know, think that Najee's a good player, but he's been your running back for the last 4 years. You're going to sign Jaylen Warren back. You know, he's a 1A. Like, he's not a legit number one. You're going to move guys around on the offensive line. You have a tight end. You just signed another tight end for who knows what reason, a 6'8" guy, Barham. I don't know what you're doing there. And you don't have another number two wide receiver. You're hoping that Roman Wilson, a guy that didn't play last year, could be a guy.
It's a guess.
Yeah, I mean, you're guessing on even Calvin Austin, who had a decent year this year. Like, Matthew Stafford needs guys around him. Like, when has Matthew Stafford played outside? He's always played indoors. When has Matthew Stafford never had a guy or two or three or four around him? He's had Calvin Johnson and then another guy. You had the best receiver ever and then some other guys to fill in. Okay, that works. You had Cooper Kupp, who was one of the best receivers in football a couple years ago. That works. Puka Nacua, that works.
I would take Puka 10 times out of 10 over George Pickens.
Oh,
right,
absolutely.
Without question.
Because he's consistent.
Yes.
You know what you're going to get. You know you're going to get 80-plus yards in six receptions every game. Every single game. Matthew Stafford always had a good surrounding cast. And I'm not taking anything away from him, but you put him in a situation that he's never really been in before, I don't think it's going to work.
I think they would be better, clearly, with Stafford than they would be with Russell Wilson, than they would be with Justin Fields, if we're just looking at the quarterback position in a vacuum. If you have Fields, the team around Fields should be better because you've got $45 million to spend after you sign Fields as compared to like 20
right.
or 10.
Right.
But you know, in a vacuum, yeah, Stafford's clearly the best quarterback on the market right now by a long shot. But one of the things he would need to do here behind this offensive line, and it served him so well in his career, is he would be a rhythm passer. His completion percentage like the last 10 years is exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is super consistent. He's as accurate as it gets. His arm still looks good. He's got it all. He needs to be a rhythm passer. Get the ball out quick. Behind this line, who's getting open for him?
Right.
Who's getting off the line?
And I love Arthur Smith, but he isn't Sean McVay.
Right.
And that's what took Matthew Stafford's career to the next level, clearly, because he won a Super Bowl. But that took his career and extended his career outside of Detroit to where he's at now, is Sean McVay. You can't say that it isn't. I mean, those two joining together was the best thing that ever happened to Matthew Stafford, obviously, because they won a Super Bowl.
Yes.
But the scheming of different things, that, like, you ain't getting that here.
No, you're not. And
Sorry.
We both like Arthur Smith,
yeah.
But there's a long list of coordinators in the NFL that don't measure up to Sean McVay, and there's a short list of coordinators and coaches that you would put in that category. He's one of the best,
yep.
If not the best. He did a hell of a coaching job this year. He ain't getting that here. Would Matthew Stafford make the Steelers a Super Bowl contender? 412-928-9370. If the answer is no, you don't make the move. You build the nest around a Justin Fields, a cheaper quarterback. If the answer is yes, then you go for it. But what do the Steelers think? We'll get to that coming up next. At 412-928-9370. We're happy to be back together again. We'd like to talk to you. And you can give us a ring on that fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Steelers interested in Matthew Stafford, according to Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback. Doran, do you think you could just pick up his production from Los Angeles and drop it into Pittsburgh? That's the thing that I think a lot of people are missing here, is scheme, weapons, dome, all that. Okay, he was really good last year. He'd be better than what they have. Now he's playing all of his home games outside.
Right.
And in Ireland, which is also outside.
True.
AFC North ball. A lot of cold weather cities on the schedule next year. Now, I know what he did in Philadelphia. That's the coldest game he ever played.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a one-off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you could say, Matthew Stafford, top 10 quarterback, he'd definitely be the same guy here.
I think that he can play here. Like, I think he could play outside. Like, it's not that, I think he's capable of doing that. I just don't think he wants to. You know, I don't think why would he want to? Like, the guy has made, like, almost $200 million in his career. Like, he's always been up top. Like, he's always been, like, number one and doing the things that he wants to do his way. Like, God has blessed him football-wise. Like, seriously.
You
like,
say he's indoors. Not the best ball you've ever caught, right?
Yes, the easiest to catch. And, like, you know, he was like a point guard. He was like Allen Iverson at quarterback. Like, he'd be looking right, and then he would throw it across his body to the left. Like, you'd always have to be open, or you always have to think that you're open or you're alive on every route, because he can make every throw, every angle. He's just a very talented thrower of the football.
And he still is.
And he still is.
He's got it still.
But I don't think, like, and I don't know how the situation would go. Like, would he get to pick, like, where he wants to go? Like, is it one of those situations where they'll honor
like
him?
It sounds
like it. So he, I'm telling you, he is not. What are the other teams?
We're talking about the Browns.
Okay.
The Raiders.
Okay.
The Jets and Giants.
Okay. The Raiders would be number one if I were him. You get to play indoors. Tom Brady's running things, and Pete Carroll is a winning coach and would let you do the things that you need to do necessary as a quarterback, because he would have so much respect for you of being a potential Hall of Fame quarterback. Like, that's all day. And they have a top pick, and they're probably going to surround stuff around you.
And you're thrown to that big-ass tight end who's an incredible player.
Brock Bowers.
I have not, in a long time, Doran, just as an aside, watched a player as a rookie and felt as good about their Hall of Fame future as that guy.
Unbelievable.
Like, I watch him and I go, oh, okay, he stays healthy. That guy's a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
He's a stud.
Stud.
And think about who was throwing him the football last year.
Exactly.
I think you make a lot of good points about the Raiders. Some have seemingly doubted whether the Steelers would be interested or not, despite the reports to the counter of that. Like, Albert Breer says, yeah, and we know last year they brought in two different quarterbacks. They got rid of a guy that they drafted in the first round. I have no doubt that they're interested, but being interested and be willing to pay a guy and give up draft equity are a different thing. Kicking the tires is different than, okay, we're going full bore into this. Do you think that they're going to go full bore into this?
There's only one scenario where I think that they would, is if Justin Fields signs elsewhere. I think Justin Fields is obviously their number one option. He is their, you know, exactly what they want to do and who they want to move forward with. But as we've been saying for weeks, it takes two to tango. Justin Fields is going to have suitors, and he's going to go to the best situation that fits him. So if Justin Fields, and I know that this timeline has to shrink because, like, you have to get something done ASAP. So I think that they're kind of like not holding their breath, but kind of like, you know, like, you know, we better push this thing forward with Fields and see what he really is going to do so we can make our counter move. But I think that if Fields goes elsewhere, I think that they look around and say, all right, we have to go and go all in with Matthew Stafford. I think that that's kind of the scenario it comes down to.
Caboli yesterday on our show made it sound like he doesn't think Fields is all that interested in coming back. He put it at 50-50, but
would you be? Honestly, put yourself in Fields' shoes. Everything that went down last year, probably somebody's going to overpay. Steelers are going to underpay. Steelers are probably talking to him right now, like, yeah, we'll give you like $10 million, and then probably the Jets are saying, we'll give you $15. But he's still weighing his options. Would you want to come back?
I'd want to go to the highest bidder, but it'd be 1A, 1B between highest bidder and, hey, this is my last chance to be a starter, and where do I think I can firmly hold on to that? And I think I'd probably rather want to go to the Jets, yeah. Yeah, because they held your hand last year, and then they tied it behind your back, and you didn't get to be you.
Yeah.
And yeah, you didn't turn the ball over, and I thought he played pretty well. Dallas game was bad. But overall, I thought he played the best we've seen a Steelers quarterback play since Ben. And then, you know, Russ came in and did better at times. But I need some certain assurances.
Yes.
I'd need to know, and you're not going to know, who I'm throwing to. Like, that's the thing here. You go to the Jets, I'm handing it off to Breece Hall. They might let me be me. I'm throwing it to Garrett Wilson,
who I went to college with.
And they're both better options than what the Steelers have. I don't even know who the Steelers running back's going to be. I don't know who the number two wide receiver is going to be. I don't know if George Pickens is going to be around. I know that they benched me last year after I started 4-2. Yeah, I think I'd much rather go to the Jets.
You got to look at it like this, too. Like, so if I'm talking with the Jets, I'm talking with the Steelers. I'm trying to figure out if the Jets are going to use their first-round pick on a quarterback. That's number one thing that I want to know. Like, are you going to pick a quarterback? They probably won't tell you, but you could figure out ways, and your agents and everybody can kind of see what the board will look like. Or they pick, I think they're picking 11, somewhere around there. But, and also, which division would you rather play in if you're Justin Fields? Would you want to go against Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson twice a year? Or would you rather, okay, Josh Allen's a one-off, but go against Tua and the Dolphins, who just flame out at the end of the year every year, or flame out at one point, and Drake May and the Patriots? I'd rather pick that division that I could actually be successful in. Like, going against Burrow and having to compete with Burrow and Lamar is going to be very tough, as everybody knows. I'd rather take my chances of maybe beating Josh Allen once, and then the other guys that I have to face.
Yeah, and people talk about, well, go with the devil you know. Well, what if the devil you know cut your legs off?
Yeah.
And that's what the Steelers did last year. Now, again, they would need to make assurances, and maybe they would say, hey, listen, we didn't let you go last year because if you got hurt, we're going to Kyle Allen, and we're trying to win football games, and we were still in the infancy of Arthur Smith's offense, and we didn't know whether we could trust you or not because it was all so new. Like, they could sell it to him. But you're right about Garrett Wilson and their relationship. I think I agree with Caboli that at best it's 50-50. And if I were Fields, I'd be leaning towards the Jets. I don't understand why some...
Jets have the seventh pick, sorry.
Seventh pick.
Yeah, sorry.
I don't understand why some read what Breer writes, hear what we talk about, and think, nah, the Steelers would never do that. The Steelers were prepared to pay a wide receiver.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
$30 million last year. Brandon Ayuk.
Mm-hmm.
I know it didn't happen, and You can say that Ayuk never had intentions of coming here and he was using the Steelers as leverage. That may well be true. That absolutely may well be true. But they were still willing to do it.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to pay a wide receiver $30 million, a wide receiver, you'd be willing to pay a quarterback $40 million.
Especially now you know the cap is going up significantly.
Right.
So I think it's all situational. I think it all does revolve around what Justin Fields ends up doing. Like, he's definitely the option. Like, I don't think that there's a scenario right now where the Steelers would prefer Stafford over Fields with everything that comes with it, with the contract and with the draft picks, having the trade. I don't think that they see the future being better with Matthew Stafford and having to give up what they have to give up to get him over them signing Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields is in the pole position, as Mike Tomlin would say right now, of who they want to bring back as their starting quarterback out of anybody that's potentially available.
The devil's advocate argument to that would be they think they're a lot closer than they actually are.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
We bring in Matthew Stafford. We think we're close. But, you know, Art has talked about the defensive line and the 299 rushing yards given up against the Ravens. And, of course, that's a concern. You need a number two corner. You need a number two at least wide receiver. You need defensive line depth.
Running back.
If you get Matthew Stafford, again, there's nothing more important than quarterback, but if you get Matthew Stafford, you're probably not going to be able to address adequately a couple different of those needs because the cap space that you're going to need to allocate towards him and the draft capital that's going to have to go the other way. I have no doubt the Steelers are interested. I think they're going to push really hard to get this guy. I just don't think it's a good idea. Do you? 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. Would you be interested in Matthew Stafford? Let's say at $40 million. Let's say even at a second-round pick going the other way. If it's $40 million for a couple of years and a second-round pick, should the Steelers trade for Stafford? 412-928-9370. We would love your calls. We would love to talk to you about this today. You can also text us. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We've touched on it briefly, but there's a really important element here that I haven't heard a lot of people get into that we will more in depth next. Tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. So I got a tweet here, Dorn, from OG King of Cool. Who says, why would Stafford want to come here? They don't let their quarterbacks audible, and they won't let him throw over the middle. For all those football reasons we've already discussed, totally understand what OG King of Cool is saying here, if that is your real name. It's on your birth certificate. But it sounds like for Stafford, it's about the money. It sounds like he just wants the $50
million.
Yeah. The best place for him is Los Angeles. When you think about the Raiders, the Browns, the Giants, the Steelers, the best team of the bunch last year by far was the Rams.
Yeah.
He wants money. So then you start thinking about cap space. And the Browns have none. You can rule the Browns out.
Yeah, he's not going there.
He ain't going there. I wouldn't want to play there. And they just can't pay him. The Steelers have the second most cap space among that group at $60 million. The team with the most cap space is the Raiders at $99
million. Wow.
And the Giants have $48 million. So if it really is Stafford getting 50, the Giants don't have that space right now.
Mm-mm.
And it would be the only move they could make. I'm sure they can restructure. That's the way these things work. They also only have 49 players under contract. So while they have 48, they're going to have to fill out the roster, which I do think makes a difference. So financially speaking, it would come down to the Raiders and the Steelers, and then which option would be best from there. But man, it might just be about the money.
If it's about the money, then he's going to the Raiders because the Raiders not only could pay him, they could pay some other people to bring to surround him with the 90-some million dollar cap space.
Almost $100 million.
I mean,
they could pay Stafford the $50 million he wants and still have about as much cap space as the Steelers do now.
Right.
And from a financial standpoint, we know ownership in Las Vegas, they like to make the splashy move.
Yeah, but Brady's there.
But from a respect standpoint, I would think Brady would look at Stafford and respect the hell out of a guy like that. Pocket passer who can put it exactly where it needs to go. And you don't bring in Pete Carroll and try to stabilize the franchise if you're not serious about stabilizing the damn franchise.
Yeah.
Now, there's an element of this that I haven't heard discussed all that much, if at all, that you've brought up multiple times off the air and briefly on the air. The Steelers got to figure this out now. This can't be something that lingers like Brandon Ayuk.
No.
It can't be, because you need to know what kind of money you're dealing with in free agency. And if you are swimming in the waters trying to find free agent wide receivers, they need to know who's throwing them the football, unless you're willing to overpay. And they do have money to overpay, but not if they're getting Stafford.
Right.
So you got to know that. And we saw, and I would hope that they learned from it last year, they were pot committed to Brandon Ayuk, and then it didn't work out, and so all year you're throwing to Van Jefferson. This is even more extreme. Now, there's obviously reason for the Rams to want to get it done. Justin Fields, on the other hand, I could see him wanting to take this thing all the way through free agency. So it's a delicate timeline situation here.
It's also delicate for Justin Fields, too, though. I mean, because if Justin Fields, you know, say he waits out, tries to get the best option, and, you know, the Steelers sign, or like, you know what, we got to get it done. If they have the mentality that we're saying that they need to have, and they try to get something done with somebody else, and it's like, all right, Justin, see you later. And then another team gets it done. Like, he could be SOL, you know, with his situation, too.
That's
like,
true.
So
he does not have he really does not have a ton of leverage. Now, again, a team like the Raiders could pay, but none of these teams he could go to are good.
No,
I mean, the Steelers aren't bad. They were 10-7 the last 2 years. They were 9-8 the year before that. It's not acceptable around here. They're not bad. We've had that conversation. I mean, you think they're going to be better with me being Stafford. Totally get that. But again, it's Rams or those franchises. He does not have as much leverage as he and his agent might think, because it's not like there's 15 teams out there that are vying for his services.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, all it takes is one. Here's a text. Stafford has made $365 million. If it's about money right now, that's disgusting. Should only be about winning another Super Bowl. Look.
Oh, no, it's not. He got a Super Bowl.
Ideally, it's both. Here's the thing. People look at the money and they think it's $365 million made in his career. Why do you need to make another penny? Because it's also about respect.
Yeah.
And he's going to make $27 million next year for being a top 10 quarterback. That's not market value.
That still can play.
That can still obviously
still play.
I mean, he was one throw away from maybe beating the Philadelphia Eagles, this super team that we all genuflect in front of. He wants to be paid as a top 10 quarterback in the National Football League. More guys than not are going to, and you can speak to this better than I can, more guys than not are going to think that way.
Absolutely, especially if I already have my Super Bowl. It's not about winning another Super Bowl. It's great to win another Super Bowl, but I'm 36, 37 years old. Like, I'm only going to play a couple more years. I want to make as much money before I retire. Like, I don't care how much money I've already made. Let me get that final buck. Because I'm still playing good, and I know that I'm, like, Matthew Stafford, like, whenever I remember Matthew Stafford, it was just, like, this kind of long-faced kid. Now I look at him, he has gray hair. He has all this gray hair in his beard. I'm like, man, like, we are old. Like, he is old. He's like, listen, I only got a couple more years. I'm still playing great, but I want to make my last chunk of change before I retire and, you know, hang the cleats up. So, I get paid what I'm respected, like you said. Like, I am playing very well. I should be compensated the way that I've been playing. Like, I'd still play at a high level. Give me the money that I deserve.
There's never enough money you can make to feel good about your family. I mean, and that's what it comes down to. Oh, you need to win. Okay, I made $365. What if I can make $450?
Right.
And my kids are set up. And my kids' kids are set up. And their kids are set up. Like, there ain't ever enough money you can make.
No.
And then there's the respect factor. Here's a tweet. Why on earth would you want a quarterback on the downside of his career? I mean, he is, but he's also really good. To give up assets for him. We're not the Rams a few years ago. We're not just a quarterback away. Tweeter.
Agree.
Totally agree. You think that. We think that. They think they're a lot closer than we think they are. So that's why they would do it. More on this later. Jeff Hathorne at 7, Jason Mackey at 8, Neil Walker at 9:35. Paul Skeens was scheduled to make a start yesterday, got rained out, but he did throw the baseball. We got a Bucco Bradenton breakdown when we return. time music can only mean one thing. It's time for the Bucko Bradenton Breakdown.
The Bradenton Bucko Breakdown?
Yeah. Oh. You could sponsor this segment that I'm going to butcher time and time again for the next month. Give us a text, 412-928-9370. The 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. So Skeens was scheduled to start yesterday. He did not because their game was rained out. He threw a 45-pitch bullpen session. There's not much to do with that content-wise. So I'm going to ask you guys a question. And Callis, feel free to chime in to comment. I heard Starkey talk about this yesterday, and I'm intrigued. We keep talking about this Pirates starting rotation as potentially one of the best in all of Major League Baseball. And I think potentially is the key word there. Skeens, I think we know what we got in that guy. Would be stunned if he's anything other than a Cy Young contender.
Uh-huh.
But Jared Jones faded down the stretch. Bailey Falter faded down the stretch. Mitch Keller faded down the stretch. I like the Andrew Healy signing. I think he's a good pitcher. What did I do?
Healy.
Did Healy.
Ah, damn it!
Jeez.
Again, you can sponsor this segment. Oviedo you can't count on because he's coming back from Tommy John. Bubba Chandler I expect to be good, but he probably won't be up until midseason, and he's a rookie, and while he's got great stuff, you're guessing. Are we too excited about the Pirates rotation? Are we making it too much of a sure thing?
No.
Okay.
Because it's the only hope that you have.
I know, but hope ain't a strategy.
It's not a strategy, but like, I mean, you look at the roster, you look at the lineup, and then you look at the starting rotation. It's like, hey, at least we have starting pitching. At least we have, you know, we can hope that Bednar can be his true his all-star self and not be what he was last year. Maybe Holderman has a bounce-back year. Oviedo's going to be infused into this rotation of starting pitching. I mean, he looks like, you know, he's going to want to compete.
He was good when he was here.
He's going to want to compete with the big dogs now. So, no, I don't think that we're making, you know, if you kind of look at logistically, too, I mean, around Major League Baseball, it does hold up of being one of the best. But I think we're just more of, you know, this is the best of the team. So let's talk about the best portion of the team.
Yeah, I do think from a talent perspective, it's one of the best in baseball. And I think the reasonable argument you could make is, okay, Bailey Falter had never pitched that much. Jared Jones, first season of Major League Baseball. Keller does worry me because now this is a theme for him. 2 years in a row where the second half of the season hasn't been as good as the first half of the season. What's the deal with that? You could expect Jared Jones now. He understands what it's all about. Bailey Falter now, okay, you're a mainstay in a rotation. And with the Heaney signing, he's been really good the last couple of years. I think he's kind of a sure thing. I'm more inclined to be optimistic than not. I just don't think we can say, oh, top five rotation in all of baseball. Could be.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely could be. One thing I'll say that you brought up was the bullpen. I saw yesterday, Colin Holderman, apart from a five-game stretch, had an ERA of 167 last year. Like, I think he's going to be good, and I do expect Bednar to bounce back.
Me too. I think it was the injury related last year that he was dealing with all season.
Yes. Especially when you consider that it was in spring training and you just never get right. So I do think the back end of the bullpen should be good, and they do have the horses from a talent perspective in the rotation. Callis, are you bullish on this rotation? You buying?
Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
I still think they should have invested more in the offense, just comparing, but like, the way it is, yeah, I'm fine with it.
He's fine with it.
Good rotation. It's solid.
Baseball.
Hopefully Jared Jones doesn't fade away like he did last season, like I predicted early on.
Yeah, Jared Jones, again, that could be injury-related too, so there's that. You know, Jared Jones pre-injury, really good. Jared Jones post-injury, not so good. So when he was healthy, an outstanding starting pitcher. So, yeah, I mean, and that's the key to any rotation, any year. Can you stay healthy?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I like the Andrew signing as much as I do, because now you've added more depth on a guy who last season pitched better than Mitch Keller did.
Yeah.
He's a
lefty too, right?
Yes. And he's a strikeout lefty.
Yeah.
Which is not Bailey Falter. I'm not saying Bailey Falter's this soft toss or, you know, hey, let's go with the ball real close to pay. There was some swing and miss stuff from him. But we're talking about a guy that strikes out nine per nine
mm-hmm.
in Healy.
Heaney.
Now it's like a speed bump.
Right. I think infusing Bubba Chandler in too, I think that that would be a bright spot whenever he does come up. And, you know, if they can, you know, say that somebody is off or somebody does get injured, I think that he'll be a nice replacement. I think he'll be really good whenever he comes up. Not as good as Skeens, but pretty close. I'm going to predict that.
I saw somebody tweet, one of these Pirates bloggers, I am just excited about Bubba Chandler as I am Paul Skeens, and he's going to be just as exciting to watch. No, he's not. Is he a better prospect than Jared Jones? Yes. And there are times when I like watching Jones more because he's this little dude who's lightning and he's all fired up. He's got the chain and he's got the hair. Like, so from that standpoint, I get it. We should never again expect somebody to come up and be Paul Skeens.
But what if he is?
He ain't gonna be. Paul Skeens is 101. He could be Jared Jones. He could be better than Jared Jones. He ain't going to be Paul. Paul Skeens started an All-Star game, third to Cy Young as a rookie. He ain't going to be that guy.
Okay.
If he is, you can make the playoffs and make noise even without augmenting this this lineup.
I agree.
And I do have high expectations for him. I mean, he came in there, watched him throw in spring training. First pitch, 99.8 miles an hour.
What was he drafted? Kelsey, you know?
Chandler?
Yes. You don't know.
2020?
No, what round? Like, I mean, what pick?
72nd overall pick.
Okay.
Bubba Chandler. I mean, he rips it.
He looks like Skeens a little bit.
They can, when Chandler comes up, go Skeens throwing 100, Jared Jones at times hitting 100, Chandler sometimes hitting 100, and then you can mix in the lefties too. Pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in it at the deadline and Chandler has come in and been the guy and you've been kind of careful with the innings and maybe Oviedo makes a push, then perhaps you could trade from a position of strength too. And then you could add to this lineup. That was the Bradenton Bucko Breakdown. Feel free to sponsor this segment.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Going to be joined momentarily by Jeff Hathorn, our sports director. Someone texted in, do you guys think the Bucks should have kept Chapman? Yeah.
Yes.
It's not my money. He goes to Boston 1 year, $10 million bucks. Yes.
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 No doubt.
Yes. How about Pomp this weekend?
We didn't spend the money anywhere else.
That's right. What are they at? $20 million overall, $15 non-Andrew McCutcheon million dollars that they spent this offseason, and they spent, what, $30 million last year?
Yep.
So, yeah. Now, if they had signed a hitter for $10
million. Right, exactly.
Then no.
No.
No, I don't need Aroldis Chapman. But yeah, it ain't my money. Good player? Affordable contract? Yes, they should have kept him. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And right now, we are joined by our sports director, Jeff Hathorn. Good morning to you, Jeff.
Morning, guys.
Jeff, as I understand it, Omar Khan speaks today. What are we expecting to hear out of the Steelers general manager?
He is going to detail all of their plans.
Going to lay it out.
Awesome.
All will be bared today.
He's going to explain the trade for Patrick Mahomes and just lay that all right out there. I mean, I expect him to say that they're looking at quarterback. They're looking at all their options. I expect him to say that You know, they need to focus on defensive line and running back and wide receiver, find a cornerback, need to find the best player available. We'll steal that from Kevin. Listen, understandably, he's not going to give away his secrets. He doesn't want other teams knowing exactly what they're thinking. But I think he'll be vague, and I think he'll be serious in the fact that they need to. There are some areas that they need to improve to get to the level they want to be at.
Jeff, do you think that it makes sense for them to enter the negotiations with Matthew Stafford, trying to get Matthew Stafford? Does that make sense to you? Would you do that? Does it make sense to the Steelers?
Well, I would not do it. Does it make sense to look at all of your options? Yes. Even if it's just to drive the price up maybe for one of your competitors. I think it always makes sense to enter in those situations. But I look at Stafford like I look at some of the other guys, like Russell Wilson. You're not fixing the problem. You're band-aiding the problem. You're maybe bridging something, but you're not fixing it. And when you look at the set, listen, they have money to spend. But when you look at what Stafford wants to be paid reportedly and what you'd be giving up in draft capital, I don't know if that's where the Steelers are at. I mean, I understand it. He had a good year. He played well in that playoff game in Philadelphia. I mean, he doesn't turn it over a ton. But he's 37. I mean, is that where the Steelers are at?
So you agree with us. I mean, that's how we view it. Still a really good player. A lot of money. Would cost draft equity to be able to get this guy. So that's how we view it. And anecdotally, it sounds to me like that's how a lot of the listeners feel. Do they feel that way, though? Would they look at that as a Band-Aid? Or do they think we're a Stafford away from really making some noise in all of this?
I mean, I don't know a year where the Steelers didn't believe that they could win the Super Bowl that season. And to that point, you bring in a Russell Wilson. Because you feel like, because listen, you can make the argument that this offseason, you get that quarter, you get Matt Stafford. Then in the draft, you get a wide receiver, a defensive lineman, a corner that all contribute. You add depth, that offensive line all comes together. You add a running back in free agency or wherever. You add maybe another receiver in free agency, and you feel like, hey, look at us. We're in this mix now. I don't necessarily see it that way, but I think the Steelers, and we've talked about this, should look at what they did at the beginning of the 2000s. 2001, they're an AFC title team. They're in the AFC championship team. Yet they were unsure about Cordell. By 2003, they still had a team that could win a championship, but they ran out there with Tommy Maddox because they didn't want to rush or didn't want to go out and get Bernie Kosar or somebody who was like 38 to be their bridge quarterback. They wanted to build their team around, so when they got the quarterback, they were ready to go. I think that's where they need to go, but I do think the reason you hear about some of these things is I believe they believe that with some of the players on defense and a young line and Pickens and some of the other things that they're a quarterback and a couple other players away, which may change in an offseason.
Jeff, do you really think that they could draft a running back in the first round again?
No. And I saw, I think it was NFL Draft Network or someone that had a mock of Ashton Jeanty to the Steelers.
McShay did it.
Yep.
Yeah, I just don't see that. I don't. I mean, and maybe it's wishful thinking that you think you learn. I don't see Jeanty as like Saquon or Bijan even. But you can find value that's nearly Najee later in the draft, or maybe even as a free agent. I mean, unless it's somebody that's just head over heels, and you saw it in college where they just dominated, I can't imagine ever taking a running back. I know what those two running backs did last year, but I'll bet that Saquon and Derrick Henry are outliers as to where the game is right now.
Jeff, I asked Mark Cabali this question yesterday, interested in your opinion on this. One position that they'll spend more money on in free agency than the others. And I'm talking about on one player. What would be the big ticket item, do you think?
You know, you'd like to think wide receiver. I'm going to say it's going to be corner. Because corners are expensive. They need a second corner. I'm going to say that's where they're not going to go draft a corner, that they're going to go find one in free agency. So I'm going to go corner. I mean, it could be wide receiver because they need multiple. So if you add in position room, but I'm going to say corner.
Jeff, are the Penguins in full rebuild mode right now, or are they in half rebuild mode right now?
No, I think they're in full. Mm-hmm. They're in full with still three guys that were key to their cup runs. I think you'll see a couple more moves before the deadline if there are players that other teams are interested in. You know, when you don't bring back a Jake Guentzel, you're kind of signaling right there. And then when you're doing what you're doing with Jari, when you make a couple of other moves you made, it's just – listen, and hockey is hard. I mean, again, for bargaining reasons, you don't want to say, listen, we're tearing it all down. And also for gate reasons – for the dependence that they have on fans coming, you don't want to that maybe that you feel that spooks some fans. But yeah, they're in rebuild, and I think now some tough decisions, like will Carlson change his mind and look to go somewhere else, even though they probably have to pick up some of that salary. I mean, what do Malkin and Letang want to do? I mean, Crystal has what, three more years on his deal? And, I mean, Chino only has one. Maybe that sways him that he wants to go out a Penguin. But, man, I know it's just two games out of the four nations, but how brutal was that?
Oh, awful.
Real brutal. And to two rivals, nonetheless. And then you've got the Flyers a couple of times this week. And I do worry if they approached Letang, approached Malkin, and by they I mean Dubas, about waiving their new move clauses, if that might shake Crosby a little bit. I mean, we know the saying, misery loves company. It's one thing for Sid to say he wants to be here for the remainder of his career when he's got his buds, and okay, we're going to stink, but at least I love you guys. Well, now if you're the lone man, I think that's dangerous territory, Jeff.
I would think that Sid's pretty self-aware. I would think that. And when he signed that extension this offseason, that he kind of understood where they were at. I mean, maybe in his optimist, maybe there's an optimism there that, hey, we're going to beat the odds because I believe in these guys. But I think he probably knew what the situation was. Not that it's any hard. I mean, you can imagine you come from that Four Nations. You're playing with Nathan McKinnon on your line. And then you come back, you know, and even though, you know, Hellebuck maybe wasn't the greatest championship game, you think about having that in net to some of the struggles that they've seen. I mean, Ned's been decent, but, man, he was horrible on Saturday. And then, you know, Yoel is just – he's just trying to figure it out.
Yeah, and I do think there people need to be patient with him, because he's a young goaltender and this is not exactly a good defensive team. But you're right, Jeff. There was a yawning cage missed opportunity by Kevin Hayes this weekend, and it made me laugh when juxtaposed with Crosby behind the back pass to Nathan McKinnon tape to tape, but he just puts it right to the back of the net. Like, I realize it's going to be stark, but it kind of hit me like a sack of bricks. Jeff, you
yeah,
are...
I mean,
sorry, go ahead.
No, and I was going to say one thing with Yoel is it normally takes goalies time. So I'm not going to give up on this guy. I mean, he's going to go through some things. There's going to be a lot said about him. I mean, we're going to see how tough he is. This is going to be an interesting stretch for him.
Jeff, rumor has it that you will be hosting the Fan 15th anniversary party tomorrow. Are you wearing a tux, and are you excited about this?
I am not wearing a tux. I'd probably go more casual, not horribly casual, but more casual. But I am asking for money for nice intros, because if not, I mean, the intros for you guys might be pretty severe.
What if we both paid you to be even more difficult with Pony?
I'm open to all comers.
Let's go.
There we go.
Get
that'll be an off-the-air conversation.
Yes, it will.
We'll have Callis foot the bill on that one. Thank you, Jeff.
I'm excited about this, guys.
Oh, me too, man.
This is going to be awesome.
It's going to be great. Jeff, thank you for the time. We will see you tomorrow, and we'll talk to you on the air on Thursday. Let's go.
All right. See you, boys.
Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff Hathorn, our sports director. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Couple things he hit on that I want to get to. If Ashton Jeanty is sitting there 21st overall, but is, by a lot of Draft Nick's opinion, a top five player in the draft, what do you do? And also an analogy that Jeff drew that I think's a really good one. We'll get to all that when we come back. This segment brought to you by Bet365. Good stuff with Jeff Hathorn in the previous segment. And there's a couple of mocks out there, Doran, that have had Ashton Jeanty to the Steelers at 21. And I am so against drafting running backs in round one unless you're close. Like, you are a running back away. And the same is true for me in free agency. Like, the way I would always choose to find my running backs is in the middle rounds of the draft. And you build out the offensive line, and you don't pay that position a lot because as they get older, more often than not, they're not the same guy. So you just kind of churn them over, and you'd like to have a stable of guys. Here's what's interesting with Jeanty, though. This, by all accounts, every draft Nick that I've listened to, all the podcasts, all the stuff I've read makes your brain bleed a little bit. This is not a draft that is stocked with high-end talent. It's deep at a lot of positions and a couple that are important for the Steelers, like running back, like defensive line. The wide receivers that have been mocked to the Steelers at 21 are guys that profile to be like high-end number twos.
Yeah.
Ashton Jeanty is an elite talent. By all accounts, a top five player-ish in this draft. In a lot of places, he is. So you could get the fifth best player in the draft at the 21st spot in the draft. I said this yesterday. I wouldn't do it, but if he's sitting there, and I'm Omar Khan, and I'm writing out my card, I probably do pause. I probably do think about it.
I think they pull it.
I
think they pull it. They've always they've always had the mentality of drafting best available. I don't think that has changed, even though that the GMs have changed. I think that Art still has that. That's kind of the way that we do things. Like, I think that they would do it. And I honestly believe that the running back trend is coming back around slowly.
It is.
But I think it is. And, I mean, with Saquon and what he did this year, Derrick Henry, you know, Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, Montgomery. I mean, there's so many running backs this year that had great years. Look at James Cooks up in Buffalo. Running backs are starting to come back around. And I don't know. Like, you're the Steelers and that's what you hang your hat on.
Running the ball.
Running the football. You pair him with Jaylen Warren, that's what you want to do. You're probably going to draft one anyways if he's still there. If your board is like this, if you go into this draft, man, and you're like, all right, we're going to draft running back in the second or third round because it's a deep running back draft, you're already going to draft one. Why not get the best one if the best one falls to you? If he's a top five prospect, not just a top five running back, he's a top five prospect. If he falls to you at 21, how could you pass that up? I understand where people come down about this, but I'm just trying to think like the Steelers would think.
Oh, no, I totally understand what you're saying. And I, again, would pause, would not do it because it's a deep running back draft. But not only do they always talk about draft the best player available, what that really is loosely translated as, the subtext on that is best available at a position of need, they need a running back.
Right.
I would absolutely not rule out them taking him 21st overall.
If he's there, which I don't think he will be.
I hope he's not.
I don't think he will be.
Yeah.
I mean, there's teams that need backs too.
He's not working out at the combine.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't either.
A lot of guys aren't, which this is the combine's going to change in the next couple of years because there's going to be a lot more guys. Like, there was one guy that didn't work out in 2010 in the combine when Rao was there. One guy because they were hurt. Now guys are like, no, I don't need to.
I think it's a mistake for Shedeur Sanders. If I were him, I would work out because I think he needs to prove that he can be that number two guy because now Tyler Shough is getting some buzz, and I think Milroe will probably look pretty good.
But what can he gain by running a slower 40?
Well, and he will.
Right.
He will.
You can't gain anything. If you know that you're not going to run well and you still have like, all right, I'm number two, three, top five guy, I wouldn't do it either.
Tyler Shough right now is getting a lot of buzz as the number two quarterback.
That's the Louisville?
Yeah, the Louisville guy
really?
Who played 7 years. He is going to be the biggest winner of the combine, I think. He's 6'5". He's thick. He's got a huge arm. People are already talking, well, I didn't watch the tape. Now I watch the tape. I really like this guy.
He was impressive in person. I saw him play.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, he was impressive.
He's going to test well. And he is going to throw the ball 70 yards. And so you would juxtapose that with Sanders, who is also not a mobile guy, who is all about accuracy and getting the ball out quick and all those things. And you juxtapose that with a guy who's humongous. Maybe you're right.
I mean, yeah, like if I'm Sanders, to me, if I'm scouting or if I'm a GM and I have one of the top picks and I do need a quarterback and Sanders is a part of my board, I'm more worried about, I want to sit down with this kid and talk to him.
Yeah.
I want to interview him. Because I'm asking him some hard-hitting questions.
Mm-hmm.
I am coming after him. I am going to hit him in spots and see how he reacts to see if I'm going to invest. I don't care what he runs. I don't care if he's going to throw in shorts. Don't care at all. But I want to know who I am getting. Am I getting your dad or am I getting you?
And he is going to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
That's the most important thing, I think, for him.
Yeah. You talk about the way the combine's changing. We're going to be all over the place.
Of course.
It's February. I love it. Rams aren't going.
What?
They're not going.
Their whole staff?
That's what I read. They're not going.
What?
I want to make sure I didn't get fooled by the internet, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think they're going. Doesn't sound right to me. Maybe I shouldn't have said it.
I've never heard such a thing.
Are the Rams going to the combine? I'll Google it.
Did you get any reasoning why?
I didn't look into it, clearly.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
All 32 teams, including the Los Angeles Rams, will be in attendance to view the future of the league in Indianapolis.
Yeah. The Rams aren't going. They don't care. They're like, whatever. We'll watch it on TV. We'll watch it together in a war room at the facility.
We don't need medicals.
No, we don't need anything. Rams aren't going.
Isn't that Occam's razor, like the most obvious thing is the most likely thing? Yeah, the most obvious thing is they're going to go. And I did it anyhow.
That's where you get all your ammo for trades and
I know it's why I was stunned.
I could see them not even, maybe participating and watching the events, but like whenever you're talking to the GM, scouts and stuff, that's where they get all their stuff. Then media guys. Jeez. They're not going.
No, Tella. They'll do it on Microsoft Teams.
Oh.
Talk to the guys on, what's the other one?
Zoom.
Maybe, what's that party app? You do that during COVID to hang out with your dudes on?
Yeah, it was Teams, right? Party Teams? Oh, no, Google Meets.
Something like that, yeah. What an idiot. Hathorn had a good analogy for these Steelers and a past Steelers team to kind of look at the way that they're going to do business. We'll get into that after we talk to Southside Jake in a battle of trivia wits. Oh, I'm a disaster.
Rams aren't going.
They're not going.
Jay's like, oh, which team isn't going and participating in the 2025 NFL Combine? The Rams.
They're not going to draft anybody either, I heard,
nope.
Doran.
Nope. Give up all their picks.
All right. Trivia with Southside Jay coming up next. And Jeff's analogy. Here's a tweet, Doran, about Genty from Brendan. If Genty's there at 21, there will be teams calling to trade. I would very seriously consider trading out. That's not bad.
That's actually a great call.
Yeah, if there's not a lot of elite players, but there's some depth at positions of need, why not stack more picks in the second and third rounds if there's a lot of similar talents from the end of the first round through midway through the third? Yeah, that
makes a lot of sense. That's a good call.
Makes a ton of sense. And we're joined now by Southside Jake of Southside Plumbing and Heating for another rousing edition of Are You Smarter Than a Plumber? Hello, Jake.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Good morning.
He's got his game face on, Doran. He's ready for it. Locked in.
Oh, boys. I don't know. I got some easy ones today.
Let's go. I love to hear that. Need a little confidence boost.
Absolutely, boys. All right, let's get it rolling here. First athlete. NHL record holder, most shorthanded goals ever in a career, which is 73. He is also the record holder of the longest consecutive points scoring streak with 51 games.
I think it's Gretzky.
Played for. You want to say it? You want to go?
Yeah, let him go. One more.
Take the available hints.
Okay. Played for four NHL teams, including the St. Louis Blues.
It's Gretzky.
It's Gretzky?
Yeah.
Okay. You got it.
All right.
I told you that was an easy one.
Yeah, back then, Lemieux would score shorties. Gretzky would score shorties. Now Crosby gets to breathe a little bit whenever it's a penalty kill.
Man,
one for
I know,
one, baby.
A lot of people don't remember that Gretzky played for St. Louis.
I didn't know that either. Yeah, I forgot about
he
that.
He wore the stupid turtleneck. Yeah, he wore the dumb turtleneck with the Blues. Yeah.
Yeah, the Blues brought him in to play with Brett Hull, and they just never developed any chemistry.
There you go.
For a week. All right. Next one. Good job, Crowley.
Yeah, I'm the best.
Super Bowl champion with the Dallas Cowboys. Three-time Pro Bowler and two-time receiving touchdown leader in a season. Only athlete to win a Super Bowl and two Olympic gold medals.
It's got to be Irvin, right?
Olympic gold medal.
Two Olympic gold medals.
I hear he was quite the badminton player.
What?
That's the part that throws you off. Oh, it's going to have to be. It's got to be from the old days. And we're going to look real dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Receiving.
He is in the whole NFL Hall of Fame as well.
Yeah, we're going to wind up looking dumb here.
So it's before Irvin?
No, yes. It can't be. No. It was.
Yes.
All right, just tell us.
Bob Hayes.
Yeah.
Bob Hayes.
Yeah.
Was a wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
I think he played for them for like 10 seasons, honestly.
Yeah.
I can't remember, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
He goes old-timer on us this early. It just doesn't work. No. I can't even say Bucko Bradenton breakdown. All right, Moneyball, let's go.
There's not too many athletes that have a gold medal in a Super Bowl. Come
I ain't
on.
Watching the Olympics in 1972.
How did I know this?
You looked it up.
Encyclopedia of plumbing and sports knowledge over there.
But it also takes a good idea to look up stuff like that.
All right, give us the third one.
All right. College Football Hall of Fame. Unanimous. All-American in 1985. Made the NFL Pro Bowl and the Major League Baseball All-Star
Bo Jackson.
Game.
Bowie. Bowie, I call him.
Bowie.
David Bowie.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
Yeah, it's Bo Jackson. Yeah.
You want to lock that in?
Locked.
I'm giving you one last
locked
chance.
It.
Yes, locked.
All right, you didn't fall for it.
See ya! Let's go! We should have got Bob Hayes,
I told
too.
You, easy ones.
We should have got
easy
Bob Hayes.
Do you know Bob Hayes?
Now that I know it. Jake, this was wonderful as always. Nothing brings us greater joy than whooping your butt.
Next week, I'm coming back hard.
We'll talk to you
Let's
then.
Go.
Thank you, Jake.
Thanks, Jake.
Southside Jake. Southside Plumbing and Heating. An analogy that Jeff Hathorn used earlier on in the hour, I think, would be important to bring it back. I think he makes some sense on that. Plus, we got another fan 15th anniversary memory to play for Yins next.
And a fly ball deep to center field. Well hit by Sutton. To the wall. Gone. Raise the Roger. How you like Pittsburgh? How you like it? Off. Walk off win, Drew Sutton. He just the Jolly Roger. And he's at home plate. That's the magic of the Buccaneers. Everybody gets
I never heard that before.
Back in the Giannotti days, one of my favorite bits of all time, the fake Greg Brown bleep calls.
That's great.
So good.
I never heard that before.
And those stopped. I don't know if it's because you're not going to keep doing Greg's thing when he leaves or if Greg didn't like it. I don't know. I don't look at Greg as a guy who takes himself too seriously.
Which Greg?
Oh, sorry. Brown.
Not Giannotti.
No, Giannotti definitely doesn't take himself seriously. No, I think Greg would be a good sport with that. It's one of my all-time favorite bits.
That's really good.
Should we just one more time?
Yeah.
And a fly ball deep to center field. Well hit by Sutton. To the wall. Gone. Raise the Roger. How you like Pittsburgh? How you like it? Off. Walk off win, Drew Sutton. He just the Jolly Roger, and he's at home plate. That's the magic of the Buccaneers. Everybody gets
So good.
And that's, it's easy to just throw bleeps around. They nailed it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they got it right.
Who's producing back then?
Was it Catfish?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Whose name I don't know.
Joe Kopp.
Thank you. Yep. Wait.
What?
Joe Kopp is a Catfish?
Yeah. Joe Kopp.
Joe Kopp was Catfish?
Yes.
Catfish.
Horse. So Horse and Catfish are the same guy? Yes. Those are two totally distinct animals.
Yes. Wasn't his like name, his like Twitter name, like 93.7 Catfish or something?
Yeah.
Yes.
I did not know that that was the same guy.
Yeah.
You might not have known as well that Greg Brown actually wasn't very fond of those.
Oh, he didn't like him.
That's what I was thinking. He probably put the stop to it.
Good job.
I mean, I love Greg. But
you didn't know that Joe Kopp was Catfish.
I don't think he is.
He is.
Yeah.
We're sure about that?
I'm positive. I am absolutely positive.
Did you know back in the day there actually used to be two producers on the two big shows in the morning and midday?
And now we have half of one in the mornings. It was right there. Yeah, I mean, he knew what he was doing. He knew.
I thought you were
going to
say
there.
We still have two.
I would not say that. I would not say that. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. I mean, I wonder, like, Greg thinks that people are going to brown again. What, people think he's actually out there just swearing?
Probably.
It actually wouldn't surprise me if, I mean, he's such a great professional. You watch the Four Falls of Buffalo, the documentary on ESPN?
Yes.
About the Bills? He was broadcasting on the Bills broadcast then. So he's a tremendous professional, and I respect the hell out of the energy that Greg Brown has always brought to the broadcast. The Bucks, if they won the pennant, I could see him slipping in.
Why not?
They won the pennant. Oh!
That'd be unbelievable.
Take never the happened. Fine. No, it would never happen. He's too good of a professional.
No, they just would never win.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not in our lifetime. I don't think it's in our cards.
If it were going to happen, it would happen with Skeens.
Yep.
I said that last year. This is the best chance for us to see a World Series in our lives. Not going great so far.
Nope.
Speaking of broadcasters that we respect, Jeff Hathorn joined us in the 7 o'clock hour, the beginning of the 7 o'clock hour. And he drew an analogy between the early 2000s Steelers and these Steelers. In 01, they play in the AFC Championship game. 2002, you have the Joe Nedney flop game against the Tennessee Titans. You win that game, you're playing for another AFC Championship. 03, they stunk, but they had so many great pieces, they just couldn't get it done with quarterback. And then, of course, 04, they go 15-1 after drafting Ben. This team's not, obviously not as good as 01 or 02. But I think his point is a really good one. Like, they just kept building the roster and kept building the roster. And they didn't know, is Cordell the guy? Is he not the guy? Let's hand things over to Tommy Maddox. Tommy Maddox played really well in 2002. And then, let's just see how 2003 goes. But the right quarterback's not here, so we're not going to go up and get that right quarterback. We're not at a great spot in the draft. And they built and they built and they built. And the bones of that 04 team, we're still on 03.
Mm-hmm.
And you had Bettis, and then you wind up bringing in Staley, and you just add pieces. And when the right quarterback, Ben, was available, you get him, and he doesn't have to be the savior right away.
Right.
But you plug him in, and hey, don't lose the game. You can develop at your own pace. It's a different era, that I understand. But I think that's what the Eagles did.
For sure.
And I think that's what the Steelers are trying to do if it were to be Justin Fields. If they go out and get Matt Stafford, obviously you can't do it the same way because of the cost associated with paying him and the draft picks you'd have to give up. But I think that's a really good analogy by Jeff. Like, those early 2000s teams were good, but they needed the quarterback. And then they took the step back, and then bang!
And they got the
guy. Ben's in, they got the guy 15-1, and they win the Super Bowl the next year.
I mean, so then what do you do this year? So at quarterback, if you want to take that step back, it would have to be. And I just don't believe that they'll ever do that underneath Mike Tomlin.
Right.
At the time was different. Cowher, and you knew, it was different, clearly. But I just don't think that they would do that under Tomlin because they are always trying to have a successful season under Tomlin. I don't think Tomlin would allow that. to step back this year to get that guy next year to make sure your future's secure.
That's where the analogy falls apart,
right?
Because say what we will about what Tomlin can achieve, what he doesn't do is lose more games than he wins.
Right.
His floor is very high every single year, and to the detriment of the franchise at this point.
It would take, and knock on wood, never like to say this, and we've talked about this before, it would take injuries at that position for that to happen, for Skylar Thompson to be a quarterback for like the, you know, after four games, somebody gets hurt.
Right.
Skylar Thompson's your guy the rest of the way.
And even then, Duck Hodges comes in and you
play. Right. Right.
I do think that's why Fields is the perfect guy here at $15 million, because you can build up the roster. You let him spread his wings, for better or worse. If he plays well, he's 26 years old. He's got a ton of talent. But you could easily see Chicago Bears Fields in there, where it's interceptions galore, it's fumbles galore, and Tomlin would probably always try to rein that in and would probably be successful in doing that, and that's why he doesn't have losing seasons. But if you let him be Fields, I think the ceiling's really high. I think the floor's really low, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see them sucking if they let him play, and then that's how you wind up getting a high pick in the draft next year.
Do you think that if Duck Hodges never played for the Steelers, that he'd be engaged to Lainey Wilson?
No.
Like, that made his whole life, really.
Yes, it did.
You know? Just getting those reps and wearing that number six Steelers jersey. Now he's marrying a country star, country singer.
Mm-hmm.
Big time. That's nice.
That's not bad.
No.
He went to Samford and won like the equivalent of the Heisman, right?
Right.
I don't think they had a scoreboard.
Really?
I don't think they had a scoreboard at Samford at the time.
They definitely weren't at the combine.
And a fly ball deep to center field. Well hit by Sutton. To the wall. Gone. Raise the Roger. How you like Pittsburgh? How you like it? Off. Walk off win, Drew Sutton. He just the Jolly Roger. And he's at home plate. That's the magic of the Buccaneers. Everybody gets